Amen. And we know He inhabits the praises of His people, and He loves to live in that. And we know that that's a rare item. It really is. It really is. People want to call worship services those times when they open those red books and sing those 200-year-old songs. Amen. I love those 200-year-old songs. But just because you sing them doesn't mean that's true worship. Amen. He said, lift your hands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He talked about the stringed instruments. He talked about the cymbal, the high-sounding cymbal. He just, listen, the Lord loves noise. Amen. And so, really, the first thing that has got to go when we're under attack, if the enemy has any assurance at all that he's going to win the battle, first thing that really needs to go is your worship. Well, somebody ought to tell hell tonight, you can't have my hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All right, we're going to get started with our Bible study this evening. Amen. And so we're going to begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A little bit of a lengthy reading tonight, but we're going to go from verses 1 through 11 concerning the spiritual gifts. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, and everybody ought to bend an ear forward when we refer to spiritual gifts, because spiritual gifts are things that all of us should desire. Amen. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles. And I'm just going to tell you, has anybody ever heard of a Heinz 57 dog? That's a mixed breed, everything. I mean, nowadays you ask people what their dog is, and it's a perk-a-poodle, doodle, needle. It's everything. And that's a Heinz 57. I think they're going to come out with a special breed that is everything. And so that's what Gentiles are. And I know, you know, our ancestry, we were Indian, or we were Irish, and we were Dutch, and we were, but it's all mixed up. And so we were Gentiles. We were carried away unto dumb idols, worshiping every god that there was, chasing everything that, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. That's not a good thing to do. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It's the Word of God telling us that we need to have the Holy Ghost if we're going to call Jesus Lord. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. People want to put you and I receiving the Holy Ghost as one of the great gifts of the Spirit when they're not hearing it. All these gifts are a gift of the Spirit. You don't have the Spirit, you don't get the gifts. It'll explain itself here in a moment. And there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Okay? So everyone that is used in any gift of the Spirit is filled with the Spirit. To profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same. You see that? Here's the key right here. The same Spirit. To another faith. How? By the same Spirit. In other words, if you've been filled with the Spirit, God can give you one of these gifts. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And we'll explain that here in a moment. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Amen. So we're going to talk about spiritual gifts tonight. Praise the Lord. There it is. Spiritual gifts. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us in this Bible study this evening. Master, we do call upon your name right now because there's only one in this atmosphere this evening that understands the totality of what I'm getting ready to teach this moment, and that is you. And I'm asking you to impart wisdom and knowledge and understanding and bless our preaching, our teaching, and our reaching this evening by your divine spirit that is in us, around us, working through us in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. The spiritual gifts, or the gifts of the Spirit, as they are often referred to, are an interesting but a very misunderstood subject in a lot of cases. God's Word is clear on the existence of the spiritual gifts and their usage and their regulation as well. These gifts are not to be ignored. Neither should they create a sensation of fear for us or among us. They should be studied carefully. The gifts of the Spirit should be sought after and allowed to operate in our lives for one purpose, and that is the glory of God. When the glory to God leaves, the gift will leave. I promise you that. And if we get an agenda and want to begin to label ourselves something special, those gifts are gone. All you will have is a testimony that God did something for you in the past, and you will not see it again in the future. So when God uses us in any kind or any one of the gifts, it is to make us more humble than we were before he ever used us in the gift. And when a person is used in the gifts, they are an humble person. And they are a person that's not selective. They're a person that's called out. They're peacemakers. They love the house of God. And they love the family of God. Amen. And so that's a person that is making themselves accessible to the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord will not endow anyone with these gifts that he cannot trust. And there's a lot of areas he's got to trust us in. And a lot of that is our initiative, our discipline, our character. Hello? Amen. Our attitudes. He cannot give something so powerful and such an example of himself to us if it doesn't show forth Jesus Christ to everyone around us. It's just not feasible, and it's not possible. Amen. And so not one of the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm just going to say it. It's Tuesday night Bible study. Can I teach the Word of God? Not one of the gifts of the Spirit belongs to a sinner. I'm sorry. We must be born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to be endowed with spiritual gifts. This is what Jesus called the children's bread. This is the children's bread. Oh, now you're saying you guys are something. I'm not saying we're anything. I know I'm not anything special, and you'll never hear that come from my lips. So if you say I said that, you're a sinner. But what I am saying again is that God can only trust this. He can't trust it with babies. You say, well, bless God, I've been in the church for 10 years. It doesn't matter how long you've been here. If you're still a baby, he can't trust you with it. Amen. So if we're going to seek this, then we need to seek it with a diligence, and we need to seek it with a discipline that we can obtain faith and favor with God so that we can be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. It doesn't have to be me, Brother Bobby. It can be you that can walk past hospital rooms and people start standing up out of bed wondering what in the world just happened. Happened with Simon Peter. And all he was a Christian that was born again of the water and of the Spirit. It can happen with any of us. But what happens to us when that happens is a big matter. Amen. And so we're the children of bread, belonging to the church. Therefore, they are not bestowed. The gifts are not bestowed upon the sinner or upon the person who may be just simply seeking God. We are in gross error to bypass the teaching of the Gospels, the experience of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I didn't give this to the sound man, but Brother Sound Man, would you give us Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then verse 38? Amen. And you can't, listen, when we go into the Word of God, to live for God, to study how to serve God, I want you to understand that the book of Acts comes first before the book of Romans. I know that's the key book for a lot of religions, and that's about the only place they hang out. But you cannot get to the book of Romans until you go through the book of Acts. So people point fingers at us because we believe certain elements in the Word of God. But that's fine. Do whatever you got to do. But we have come to the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that you got to fulfill the will of God in the Word of God to be used of God. So we don't want to just be quote-unquote believers. We want to be receivers and used of God and blessed of God so that we can reach our world. Amen. And Acts 2 and 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, everybody say every one of them, no one was left out, all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. Amen. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And what happened? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How do they know? Because they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. It wasn't a tongue they knew. It wasn't a tongue they learned. They were not speaking in tongues so someone else would understand them. They were speaking in tongues because the Spirit fell on them and gave them utterance. And then verse 38 says, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. How many of them? Every one of them for the remission of their sins. And then he said, then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the gift comes to those that are in repentance, those that are seeking baptism, those that are seeking truth, those that are hungry, those that are thirsty, those that are coming in. And that's when the gifts begin to come. Amen. And so we can't lay claim to any of these gifts by bypassing the salvation that is spoken of in the book of Acts. God's word must be rightly divided on this particular subject. And so let's look at the gifts categorized. Man has divided it's divided in the Word of God, but it's not mentioned, so man has taken and divided. I'm very careful to point those things out to you. We didn't add to the Word of God. Man didn't add to the Word of God. We just put it in division so it could be understood more clearly. Man has divided the nine spiritual gifts into three categories, bringing clarification and understanding to the gifts of the Spirit. All right? And so number one is the gifts of revelation or the power to know. Because the word of the Lord speaks of the word of knowledge. Am I correct? And then it speaks of the word of wisdom and then discerning of the spirits. And so these are the gifts from God to give us the power to know, comprehend, and to understand. And then secondly, gifts of power or the power to act. And this category includes faith, and then the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. Amen. And then the third category is the gifts of inspiration or the power to speak. And this includes prophecy. This includes diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues and so forth. And so those are the three areas of spiritual gifts. And so we're going to go through each one of the spiritual gifts themselves very briefly, very quickly. And so I admonish you and advise you, if you would, to take notes, especially if we say something that might be revelatory or new to you, amen, so that you can study them more for yourselves in the future, because we need an unleashing. We need a supernatural releasing. No more just sit there and have religion. That's stifling. That's like chains. Amen. That's like when Paul and Silas were locked up. What did they do? They began to sing. They began to worship God in the Spirit. That's when the chains came off. Amen. I want God to bring a revival to this land that will touch every church. And when I say every church, I mean every denomination, everything that calls itself a church. I want the Holy Ghost in that house. Because we will need every building that calls itself a church when God gives us the revival that He's preparing to pour out. I felt that one. Whoo. I'm just telling you, I see things that I don't even talk about. Amen. When I mentioned that, I saw angels with blazing swords coming against the devil like you have never seen a spiritual force or never thought of a spiritual force. I saw that. I saw that miles wide and miles deep just slowly going across Davidson County. Amen. And the Spirit of God anointing every temple. I don't care. Call it Pentecostal holiness. Call it Free Will Baptist. What's a free will? I don't even know. It doesn't matter. Call it Methodist, Presbyterian. I don't care. Amen. But just endow it, Holy Ghost, with the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Baptist can start baptizing in Jesus' name. And the Methodist can pick up the method of the Word of God. And the Presbyterians can come together and unite. Amen. And preserve the Word. Listen, that we can have that revival. It can happen overnight, right now, as I'm speaking to you. All across our world, we are baptizing pastors by the hundreds. Literally. And they're going back to their congregations and they're teaching this Word of God and their people are being baptized in Jesus' name. You probably don't even know this. I should talk about it a little more, I guess. I am not bragging. I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. I've gotten to the age to where I just don't care. I just want to have revival before I die. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But there was a Baptist preacher in Davidson County. And years back when the radio station was over here by what used to be, across from the fairgrounds. That was a gospel radio show. We were on it for about a year. This guy was on it in there as well. Baptist. Man, he'd start preaching and screaming and shouting. And he was Baptist and he was just ripping it out. And then all of a sudden, he came across this truth. And he didn't just come across it, he accepted it. And he started preaching on there. He said, where were y'all when I've been preaching this over here for about 40 years? He said, but I don't know. He said, I just thank God. Well, you know, he's moved on to another area, but he's still preaching the truth. Amen. So this truth is marching on. Amen. I'm just saying there's just more to it than just coming to church. There's more to it than, oh my God, I'm having problems. I'm having trouble. I'm going to Landmark tonight. God's got to make this better. And He makes it better and we don't see you for 6 months. Listen. Amen. Get a hold of the gifts. Get a hold of the Spirit. Get a hold of the anointing and your life will become so satisfied. You'll become so gratified. The anointing will break every yoke. You'll get so happy. Amen. It's Sunday, isn't it? Sorry. But I'm just saying, amen, we need the gifts of the Spirit in full operation. And so we need everyone in the church hungry and thirsty for the gifts of God. Amen. So number one, let's look at the word of knowledge. Amen. The word of knowledge is a supernatural insight into the mind. It's a supernatural insight into your will and your purpose, the purpose of God and man. It would not ordinarily be known to us. I'll give you a couple of examples. God gave Peter knowledge of Ananias and Sapphira's plot when they came in and lied to God. That's the couple that died right in front of the pulpit, and they had to take them out because they lied. Their pastor, Simon Peter, he understood that. He had the knowledge of that. It was a gift. It came from God. God gave Ananias a vision before he went to Saul. God gave Agabus knowledge of what awaited Paul in Jerusalem. And this could also be considered a prophecy as well. It was told about how Paul is going to be bound. The gift of the word of knowledge is supernatural endowment of knowledge and is not associated with natural knowledge that results from intellectual pursuits. You will get knowledge at college. You'll get knowledge in a lot of places, but there are just some things that God gives you instantly and you just know. God is making something known to us outside the realm of study, what someone reveals to us or what the Bible teaches. We can, and we should have knowledge without spiritual gift, but then when the spiritual gift of knowledge comes to us, it's something that no one could have taught you. And then there's the word of wisdom. It's a supernatural revelation or insight into the will or the purpose of God's, accompanied by wisdom as to what to do, or specifically, most of the time, how to solve a problem. Amen. And so I'll give you a couple of examples of operation here in the Word. In Acts 27, God showed Paul how to solve the problem or meet the crisis of an impending shipwreck. Remember, Paul was in prayer. God gave him wisdom. He spoke to all the people and say, stay with the ship and not a hair on your head. It's going to be harmed. The ship got broken up, but everyone was rescued. Some of them came in on, the Bible says, boards. Just floated in on boards. God gave the Jerusalem council needed wisdom for the problem at hand in Acts 15. The Jews really had a problem with the Gentiles receiving this Holy Ghost thing, but God gave them wisdom, and at the council, it was resolved. The 12 apostles were shown what to do in the matter of equal distribution of goods among the people in Acts chapter 6. All that came from God. It had to come from God. Amen. So wisdom can be received from God through prayer, of course, and then directly from God at any given time. Amen. If we're prayerful, praise the Lord. And then there's the discerning, the spiritual gift of discerning of spirits. Supernatural insight into the realm of spirits as to whether they are of God. Because the Bible says, try the spirits, see if they be of me. And so we will know if it's God or Satan and the purpose involved. This particular gift, I want to step a little aside for just a moment, give you a little insight, true insight about ourselves. This particular gift, the discerning of the spirits, needs to come to our house first, needs to come to our home first. It needs to be the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror first. Discern our own spirits before we get professional at discerning everyone else's. Because don't let everyone else know what your little spirit is and you go around acting like they don't know. Or Why don't we, what did the Bible say, clean up our own house before we try to clean everybody else's? What's going on right now at Landmark, if you're interested, is a house cleaning. And the Lord's moving through. Amen. And I'm glad to say that people are making it. I want to make it. Amen. And I at the same time, I want God to do whatever he's got to do to make it what he needs it to be. And if he's going to make this house what it needs to be, then there's going to have to be some stretching and some purifying and some eye popping as to who we are to ourselves as well. If we even think that we can stay the same way that we've always been and have something extraordinary in the future from God, we're deceiving ourselves. Something and some things have probably got to change and be rearranged and resorted. Amen. I'm not here to condemn. I'm not even here to cause conviction. What I'd like to have happen tonight is a little education so that we can get into it, study it, hunger for it, thirst after it, and obtain it. Because if I was trying to condemn you tonight and make you mad, if I tried to cause conviction tonight, you'd make a reason why you don't have to do what I'm saying. But if you desire the true supernatural gifts of God and the spirit gifts of God, then your ears are bent this way and you're saying, tell me, Pastor, what I need to do. Tell me what I've got to do and I'll do it. Amen. And so there's a time for inspiration and all of that, but tonight is for education. Praise the Lord. So we need the word of knowledge. We need the word of wisdom. We need the discerning of the spirits. Amen. And because we need that insight on that certain realm of God. Amen. Example, Elymas the sorcerer was exposed by Paul through the gift, that gift of discernment. A damsel possessed with the evil spirit of divination was discerned by Paul. Simon the sorcerer was discerned for what he was by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 8. A lot of types and kinds of spirits are existing in our world today. We know that. Therefore, we need this gift in operation in our lives. We learn and are taught discernment through time and experience. Yet there are times when our spiritual safety is dependent on the gift, this particular gift for a special need or occasion. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I don't care where it is, apostolic churches or where it is. Amen. Where did that man of God comes to the pulpit? We need to discern. Is it, what's he doing with the word? Where's he going with the word? Amen. And so we need to get our nose and our spirit right in the word so we'll know that he's going the right direction there. We need to discern these things. But first and foremost, we need to discern the things among ourselves. Amen. The Lord came to seek and to save everybody. And if you're not here for the goodwill of everybody, you need an altar. Bad. You need it now. You need it quick, fast, and furious. Stop. If you're making up a reason why, stop. Because if you want these gifts, you got to open this thing like a book and just let God have it all and let God redirect, reconstruct, remodel, and move it and make it and resolve every matter and right here on, and walk away and everybody's on the same level. We say we want them. We say we hunger for them. But are we willing to change this one to obtain it? We want to change everybody else, that's for sure. But how about this one? Amen. A lot of things can be determined through the scripture and by the actions and the conduct of men, women, and young people. Some things appearing to be right, sound, true are in reality works of the devil, and we need to be able to discern these things. The Lord knows what is in man, and through the gift of discernment, He's able to make it known to us as well. Do you believe that? All right, let's look at the gifts of healing. Amen. This is supernatural work of healing being brought into fruition or wrought in the lives of those we pray for without human aid or medicine. Examples of operation are the healing of Publius in Acts chapter 28, the healing of the lame man at the gate Beautiful. Remember that? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. And he pops up, runs to church, and has apostolic revival. And then the example of healing of the lame man and palsied at Samaria. We could go through all of that, the dead being raised and all of that. Amen. That's the gift of healing. Healing is a constant, abiding promise of God that can be obtained. Healing also comes through by means of faith, the gift of faith, and all of that. Healing is a big deal. People will believe when we lay hands on them and they are healed. Praise the Lord. It's sad, but they don't care what your doctrine is. All they know is they got healed and they're going to that church. Well, when they get healed and they go to that church, then they get the doctrine. Praise the Lord. The Spirit draws, but the doctrine keeps you. Amen. Apparently, all supernatural healings are referred to as miracles, yet all miracles are not necessarily healings. Let me explain. A miracle may include calming a storm, raising the dead, opening of a prison door, or such like. In the healing of the lame man in Acts chapter 3, it's called a notable miracle and a miracle of healing. But here is something that I really want you to take note in, and that is a miracle is a right now event. Amen. For instance, if someone was in a wheelchair and I spoke the word of faith and they just stood up and started running the aisles, that would be an absolute miracle. But on the other hand, a healing can be a process. My healing from cancer was more of a process than an absolute miracle. I can't tell you the day I was healed. I can't tell you the moment. I can tell you many people prayed for me. Many people laid hands on me. Amen. I told a preacher one time, I said, somebody had faith for me, and if I ever find out who it is, I'm going to kiss them right on the lips. He said, bless God, it wasn't me. That's exactly what he said. It was a long process. There was doctors involved. There was preachers involved. My pastor was involved. My wife was deeply involved. Others were involved. You were majorly involved. All of you believe in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, Sister Dana, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? You find out it was your prayer that touched God and your pastor was healed. Amen. We're looking through a glass darkly right now, but sometimes healing is a process, and the Lord allows everything that accumulates. They can give you all the radiation. They can give you all of the surgeries and all the chemotherapy and all of that, but only God heals cancer if He wants to use that. And I think the reason why sometimes when God heals someone in a long process rather than giving them an instant miracle is because He wants to take them on a journey and give them other things before He gives them the miracle. Because He certainly gave me a ton of things in the process. And I thank God for all of that. Amen. Amen. So healing is a constant and abiding promise of God. Amen. And so there are miracles, and they will continue to happen. But at the same time, there's healings. Praise the Lord. How about the working of miracles, supernatural work performed through a child of God, contrary to nature and the course of humanity? Peter's delivered from prison. Eutychus is restored to life. And miracles is a word used lightly in our society as people express amazement over new inventions and medical science and architectural marvels. They look at a skyscraper and say, that's a miracle. Well, not really. A man made it. Although these things may be great and outstanding, they still remain the works of men. It would give more glory to God and keep this word in better context if we used it scripturally in reference to the supernatural work of the Holy Ghost. Surely, a supernatural healing or event contrary to the course of nature should be described as a miracle, with all glory being given to, and everybody say it, God. Amen. And then faith, one of the greatest gifts, the supernatural ability to believe God for a special need without human doubt, unbelief, or reasoning. Paul speaks of faith to remove mountains. Note the faith of Peter and John for the lame man again. Peter's deliverance from prison, that took faith. Amen. Again, Eutychus' resurrection. Faith is an absolute essential in obtaining and allowing God to operate in our lives. And any and all of the spiritual gifts. No doubt the gift of faith is often coupled with another spiritual gift, such as gifts of healing or the working of miracles, to bring them to fruition. In context, as the gift, gift of the Spirit, we're given a special, extraordinary measure of faith from God for a special occasion. When you have to rise to the occasion, God can give you more faith for it. After the special need has been met, we then walk by faith again. Amen. We add to our faith. We use the shield of faith as a part of our armor. Let the Spirit produce the fruit of faith in our lives. Amen. Faith outside the spiritual gift of faith is an abiding entity of the heart of the believer and produces great results in our lives and in the lives of others. Amen. God can gift us with greater faith, but we already have faith. Amen. And then prophecy is a supernatural inspired utterance in the native language and is confined to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Somebody say comfort. Amen. And a few examples of that is Agabus prophesied of a drought so they could prepare. Philip's four daughters prophesied. Paul told of some future things awaiting the church. And make note, study 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Write that down. Go home. Study 1 Corinthians 14 carefully in relation to the gift of prophecy. All three gifts that involve speaking are regulated in their number of uses in any service. No more than three prophecies should be given in any one public service. God's purpose for this is to preserve the order of the service and that all things may be done decently and in order. Praise the Lord. I think I've got it marked for you guys. 1 Corinthians 14, 39, 40. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Amen. It's not saying not to prophesy. It's not saying not to speak in tongues. It said forbid not to speak in tongues. Let them speak in tongues, but do things decently in order. When God uses us with the gift of prophecy, we're not a prophet in the sense of a prophet spoken in Ephesians 4 and 11. Amen. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Amen. But the gift of prophecy can fall on anyone at any given time. You don't have to be a prophet for the gift of prophecy to strike. It doesn't mean God's calling you to be a prophet, but He's using you at that particular time because your heart is in that condition. Your spirit is in that condition. Amen. And so forth. So God can use you. And then diverse kinds of tongues. This doesn't mean some Spanish, some Chinese, some Japanese, some. That's not what that means. Amen. The evidence of this tongue or this special gift is diverse tongues. Now, there's a devotional tongue. This is when you're speaking in tongues in private, and that edifies yourself to God. It's a beautiful time. Amen. It's a beautiful time when you're praying and you go into the realm of the Spirit and you begin to speak in tongues. You could speak in tongues for an hour. And that is edifying yourself to God, the condition of your spirit, by being so filled and overrunning with His Spirit. And that is a devotional tongue. Amen. And then there's edifying self edifying man to God. Amen. That's what that's all about. No interpretation required. If you're the only one praying, why do you need an interpretation? Praise the Lord. Amen. No one understands it. And the beauty of it is that there's no limit. Amen. We shouldn't come into the church and want to speak in tongues the whole service and not get anything out of it. I remember a camp meeting speaker one time. There was a young man that sat at the front, and all he wanted to do was speak in tongues the whole time. And he just sat there and just spoke in tongues. The preaching, the singing, the worship, the miracles, the people receiving the Holy Ghost, all that took place while he was there just rocking, speaking in tongues. And finally, I think it was about on the last night, the guest speaker went down and gave him a piece of paper and a pen, and he said, "Take notes on what I preach tonight." It's just got to be a balance. He's not telling them, don't ever speak in tongues again. Amen. For religious purposes and for people and pastors out there that don't comprehend what I'm trying to say here right now, Paul never told the church that this is over. The Bible says whether there be prophecies, they're going to shut down. Whether there'll be tongues, they shall cease. But they will not cease until after the rapture. When we're in heaven, there'll be no need for tongues. Amen. And so, and then secondly, there's the congregational tongue or worshiping in the Spirit. Amen. Where that's God to man. I felt the Holy Ghost so strong tonight I couldn't stop while we were worshiping. I remember when Cody was a little boy and we went home. He said, "Dad, I got the Holy Ghost 5 times tonight." That was God coming to Cody. That was God coming to the church. And we just, while we're everyone else, we're in unity, one mind, one accord. We're all worshiping. We're just speaking in tongues. It's a worship. It's a congregational worshiping tongue. And then thirdly, there's prophecy. Amen. There's a prophecy where interpretation is needed. Amen. Where in any course, there's two or three that set forth tongues, and then someone interprets as a word from God to the congregation as to what they meant when they spoke in tongues. To reveal what everyone was speaking in tongues is not what the Bible... That's one of the gifts. The other, it's just diverse tongues. Amen. And prophecy, when it comes forth, there's an interpreter of those tongues. And there is no... there's no confusion. There's absolutely no confusion. When that happens, everyone else goes silent. They just automatically do because the Holy Ghost is governing the whole sanctuary. Everyone else grows silent and the interpretation is waited for. Amen. So that leads from diverse kinds of tongues to the interpretation of tongues. And so the gifts of the Spirit are not given to us as the continuing evidence of the Holy Ghost, but the gifts of the Spirit are a divine gratuity, a spiritual endowment that come upon us and a miraculous operation in our lives that cannot be acquired through human ingenuity. Amen. No matter how spiritual you present yourself, no matter how loud, no matter how quiet, no matter how humble we might want to make our demeanor, we cannot humanly engineer the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts are not given to us. Gifts are given to us while fruit grows. And the Bible said, you shall know them by their looks. You shall know them by their actions. You shall know them by how much they pray. The Bible says, you shall know them by how hard they worship. The Bible says, you shall know them by their fruits. And again, after all it's said and done, it comes right back to me. And it comes right back to you. What are we truly, truly producing to obtain the gifts of the Spirit? Let's stand together. We need to comprehend, and I'm not taking away from the fact that the Holy Ghost is a gift from God. Thank God for that gift, because we have to have that to make heaven home. And the reason I say that is because the Holy Ghost is God. How many of you agree we got to have God to make it home? The ministry is a gift from God. The 9 spiritual gifts are gifts from God. Amen. Existing and abiding in the life of the Christian on an everyday basis is the power of God. And the use of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, these spiritual acquisitions and promises are ours to claim continually. Additional strength in each of these areas is available through spiritual gift of each or all of them. Listen, earnestly desire, the Word of God says, and pray for spiritual gifts in your life and in your family, in your church, in this congregation. When you're praying for spiritual gifts in our church, and God uses Brother Brown instead of you, are you okay with that? And if you can say, I am, that in itself is a gift from God. Because that's not humanity. Humanity says, I want to be the one that does this stuff. There's a whole lot of humble when it comes to living for God. There's a whole lot of peacemaking. There's a whole lot of friendly. There's a whole lot of love that's got to emit for all of this to work right. And I want it to work right. Amen. I want you to know that this altar is available. And once you use it to put all your stuff on it, that when you walk away, I have no aughts against you. I have no aught against you. I won't hang that over you. I don't even want to remember that. I'm trying to become like Jesus. The one that loves no matter what. The one that loves everybody no matter what. And if we can accomplish that, the gifts of the Spirit will come in every door. And everyone here will be available. Boy, I felt that one too. Woo! Hallelujah. That's a good idea, Brother Bennett. Why don't we just all raise our hands and touch God. Make ourselves available, reachable, touchable, teachable, preachable, accessible, access to us. access to Him for the giftings, for the blessings, for the anointings. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Almighty God, Holy Ghost is here. Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here. Ooh. You got to understand, the Bible says we are a feeble folk. We're like the coney, the scripture says. That's a rock rabbit. He has to run and hide in the rocks because he's nothing. He can't handle the storm. He can't take the junk. And all of us, somewhere in there, are fighting against an element. But I'm telling you, there's not a time in your life we can't run to the rock and find safety and find help and find harbor, mercy, grace, forgiveness, strength, anointing. And then the doors will fly open and the gifts of the Spirit will flow even to the feeble. Even to the ones. Amen. These gifts are available to ministry. These gifts are available to leadership. These gifts are available to the saints alike. And through their use, the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody say the body. Now, you need to look around, and I'm telling you right now, from wall to wall, from the floor to the ceiling, from the center to all of the circumference, we are all the body of Christ. You got a miserable life if you're trying to live and you love your head but you hate your feet. You love your feet but you hate your hands. You love your hands but you don't like your arms. What kind of life is that? Let's just love the whole body. What do you say? So the gifts of the Spirit can come in and operate. And God can function, and the Spirit can move, and the anointing can break every yoke and tear down every stronghold. And others can witness the beauty of signs and wonders and miracles in the house of God as they should be. And so the body of Christ will be exhorted, it will be edified, and the most important thing, it will be comforted. I don't want to be a person that causes discomfort, because it is the will of God through the gifts of the Spirit to cause the church to be comforted. Don't say, I want the gifts, and you don't want a comfort. So let's ask Him right now, God, to give us some maturity. Lord, to grow us. I'm pushing the bowl of milk aside, and I'm ready to eat some meat. I'm ready to move forward, Lord Jesus, with some growth. I'm ready to move forward, Lord, with some personal anointing that you can use me. Speak through me. Move through me for the betterment of your church, for the betterment of your people, for the betterment of the community, for the betterment of everybody. No uncertain terms. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus' name
and the air.
Holy Ghost,
my strong tower.
Yes,
my dearest and best friend.
My.
And it was you who made my life complete.
Hallelujah.
I love you. Jesus, I love you.
I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
I love you, Lord.
Because you care.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus, I love you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, I love you.
I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
I love you.
Because you care.
My. God bless you tonight as you're dismissed. Shake hands. Be friendly. Greet one another. Amen. Let's prepare ourselves for great church this weekend. Bring somebody with you. Get a Bible study started. Share the word.